This episode of Country Squire Radio is brought to you by Missouri Meerschaum and the Tin Society. We thank them for supporting this show, and we thank you for supporting them.
You're listening to Country Squire Radio.
Welcome to Country Squire Radio. I'm Bo.
And I'm John David.
JD!
Hey, Bo. Good evening, man.
Good evening, sir. How you doing tonight, man?
I'm doing great. It's been a crazy day. Man, there's just so much going on right now in the Country Squire world. You know, our beloved intern, he had an accident last week.
Wait, what?
He was running with his dog, and the leash on his dog tripped him up, and
he broke
his kneecap. And so, man, I didn't even know you could do that. I mean,
man.
I guess I just never thought about having, you know, your kneecap broken or whatever. But yeah, dude, he crushed his kneecap, and old Caleb, he's been out of commissions. We're backlogged on, you know, just all kinds of stuff, trying to get things hemmed up. Our friend Jimmy, who has been kind of working seasonally
here
at the
Squire.
Yeah, shout out to Jimmy. He's such a good guy and a good friend, and he's been working during the kind of the winter months for us, and has done a great job. So we're just trying to scramble it together. It shows how incredibly important someone like Caleb really is.
Yeah, but, man.
Things are good though. We're just rocking and rolling. It was a slow January, but we're come roaring into February and almost in time for International Pipe Smoking Day, which we'll touch on here in a little bit.
Yeah, man. Okay, so of course, as we broadcast and record this podcast on Monday night, it is the Monday after Super Bowl Sunday. And did y'all have a Super Bowl event here at the Squire?
We did. Yeah, we
did.
How did
that go?
It was great. Yeah, we didn't have a huge crowd, but it was an enthusiastic crowd. So
Patriots, Eagles, where were they?
Yeah, I think most people were Eagles fans.
Yeah!
Yeah, I mean, we did our resident Greek Orthodox priest, who is from New England, was pulling for the Pats, but the Eagles fans were victorious, and we're happy about that.
That's good. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, like, I would imagine that even the Patriots would have to get behind the underdog tail of the Eagles.
I don't think so.
Not even that?
if you're a real Patriots fan, no, there's no chance.
Oh, wow.
I don't know. Yeah, it was good, though. Yeah, you love to see stories like that. You know, all those, they kept showing that 100-year-old man, you know, that had been pulling for the Eagles, you know, since he could, you know, remember how to do the ABCs
wow,
or whatever.
Yeah.
And they'd never won a Super Bowl, and, you know, he was just so excited to win. And I was thinking to myself, like, man, if they lose, this guy's going to die, like, right there.
That'd be terrible.
It'd be just awful.
Oh my gosh!
So it worked out good.
Well, it was a great game. It was a great game. You know, I'm always I am definitely the guy that tunes in primarily for the commercials. And there was a lot of great Tide. I think was the big winner of the night. In fact, this isn't a podcast.
Yeah,
it's a Tide ad.
It's a right.
it's 4 to 5 year experiment.
That's right.
Yeah, it's just been a Tide.
No, it was so funny, dude. They kept showing that the Tide stuff, and I was thinking, did they book this, like, you know, these spots before all the Tide Pod stuff, like, came around?
Right.
Like, did they book it, you know, or did they book it to try to, you know, get back in people's good graces or something? I don't know. But they were just tied everywhere. Yeah. And what's the guy from Stranger Things that was on there?
Oh, was that the guy from Stranger Things?
Yeah. I forget his name. But anyway,
Sean Astin. That's not him. That's not him.
No idea.
Yeah, anyway, I don't know who that was.
But yeah, the guy that kept showing up. It was they were clever. It was good. So, it was good.
Well, hey, man. So this coming weekend, actually, I got something kind of big going on. So I am actually going down to New Orleans for Mardi Gras because I will actually be riding in Endymion, the crew thereof. It's like the big Mardi Gras parade.
I was about to say that's kind of the big daddy, right?
Yeah, man.
I mean, and a lot of us aren't familiar with Mardi Gras, how it works, but there's different parades, different crews. Endymion is kind of the it's really the Rolls Royce of them all, right?
It really is. It's very very exclusive. Very.
How'd you get into that? Did you have to pay off to get into that?
I have a very
you're too lowbrow for something like that.
I have a very generous uncle who rolls around with the Rolls Royce crowd, and
okay.
So. He gave me his spot.
That was
and,
kind.
It was very kind of him.
Yeah.
And so, man, I'm looking forward to it. Yeah, this parade goes all throughout the French Quarter and downtown, and it actually ends. It goes around the Superdome, and then it goes into the Superdome where there's this like massive party, and it's apparently an all-day event. From what I'm told, like, the parade lasts for 4 hours. Imagine like a four-hour road trip where you're standing up the entire time. And apparently the rules are I got to keep my mask on the entire time I'm going to float,
okay.
I cannot pass out. Word on the street, though, this
only one of the house rules in New Orleans, of course, would be you cannot pass out.
Right, right. Well, right. So that's the thing, that apparently there's talk that when you pass out, they just leave you on the side of the road.
And we all know what happens when that happens.
I'm sure that doesn't happen. I'm sure that's not the case, but I'm not going to pass
out.
That's
why the pipe would be so, you know, functional during this time, because it keeps you focused. You have to rhythmically puff, you know, while you're going on. And just, I don't know, but be sure to stay hydrated.
I think it'll be good. I've been told that my riding partner, because apparently, like, you've got, like, sections of the float, you've got a dedicated section that is your section, and you're kind of with the people that are around you, and you can't kind of leave that space. So anyway, the guy that's going to be in my area apparently is like a huge cigar aficionado. So you're gonna educate me before I go, so I'll be able to say impressive stuff.
That's good. Yeah,
they won't know this, like, this kid from Mississippi, you know, who's like, yeah, I can afford to be here. Yeah, sure. Yeah, you gotta let me. Yes, of course. Oh, I see you've got these fine sticks there. Let me get you this hammer and sickle, whatever the right phraseology is.
That's correct. That is a boutique brand of cigar. So
nailed it.
That's great.
Well, hey man, so
that's exciting.
Big date coming up, as you mentioned before, ladies and gentlemen. It's not 420. It's 220.
It's 220, and we know that is the real pipe smoking day.
That's right.
And International Pipe Smoking Day, yeah, coming up on February the 20th. It comes every year, and of course, the Country Squire, as is tradition, is going to have an awesome promotion and sale, and we're really fired up about that. Starting the 20th, which is a Tuesday, and going through that Saturday, which is the 24th, we're so excited. Everything on our website will be 10% off, and pipes will be an additional 10% off.
So 20% off?
20% off on all pipes, and then 10% off everything else in the shop. That's accessories, blended tobaccos, tin tobaccos, lighters, everything, you name it. It's just going to be all across the board. So, and then, of course, 20% off on pipes, which is great. So we're fired up. What we're really excited about, though, is for the first, we've actually got some stuff we're giving away. This is the first time we've done this before.
Ooh!
And so, we, you know, kind of put our heads together and thought, what can we do to make this year kind of extra special for International Pipe Smoking Day? And so we are actually coming up with a custom blend just for International Pipe Smoking Day. And the only way you can get it is by ordering at least $50 worth of products from the Country Squire.
Gotcha.
If you order $50, you'll get a sample of the new International Pipe Smoking Day blend from 2018. And then we're also excited, this is the first time we've done anything like this, if you order $150 worth of stuff, you'll get a free t-shirt from the Country Squire as well.
Interesting.
So, man, we are fired up. We're giving away that. And then $200 orders also are actually going to get a free tin of tobacco from a name brand tobacco blender. And so it could be aromatic or non-aromatic. But we're just so excited. We're looking forward to just a really big, you know, fun February. This is kind of the pipe smokers.
It's like Christmas 2.0. It's a pipe smoker's Christmas.
It really is. Yeah. You know, everyone's like, why are y'all so excited? Everyone's trolling all the pipe smoking forums, looking for discount codes and free shipping codes and things like that. And man, we're always always really glad to play a part in that.
So, man, with the way that you described all of those amazing deals, I feel like Pylorans needs to bring down his drone and catch you blending again. That was
I know. You're right. No, you catch me blending. I don't know. I mean, you know, with people watching. I mean, I got an image to keep up.
I don't know.
I can't get caught blending too often.
Hard to get that image out of your head. That's for sure. Well, man, that sounds like great. That sounds like a fun
one. We're excited. So more information on that as we go forward. We'll be bulking up on our products here on our website and stuff really over the next several days. So be looking for new pipes, new tobaccos coming out, and a lot more inventory to get fired up about.
220 this year, it comes on a
Tuesday.
Okay.
Yeah, so we'll be recording the day before.
Day before it. Yeah. Okay. Because, you know, so typically for International Pipe Smoking Day, I tend to like smoke a special tobacco, something I've kind of had up in the cellar, and kind of break it open. And generally, I do a kind of a periscope or some kind of video or live smoking of it. I'll have to go through my cellar.
Yeah, kind of figure out what you got hanging around.
Yeah, I might do that sometime tomorrow or sometime between now and then. I'll do a periscope through the cellar, and then I'll let the viewers decide what I will smoke for International Pipe Smoking Day.
Yeah.
How about that?
That's very good.
I think it'll be a fun one, man. All right. Well, that's great. What else we got going on?
Yeah, other announcements. North Carolina State Fairgrounds.
Come on, raise up!
Man, it's so exciting. On Saturday, April 7th, the North Carolina Pipe and Tobacco Expo will be from 9 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. there at the North Carolina State Fairgrounds in Raleigh. It's going to be in the House Holzer Building, and just follow the signs kind of when you get on the property there. But there will be a pipe carver's workshop on the 6th, which is the day before, and then the night of the 6th from 5 to 9 at the Ramada Inn on Blue Ridge Road, there will be a reception party. So if you're in the area, please go to that. Again, 9 o'clock in the morning to 4:30 p.m. on Saturday, April 7th. That's the North Carolina Pipe and Tobacco Expo. You know, man, I mean, that's American tobacco country right there.
Yes, sir.
So it's going to be an exciting time. So if you have any questions about that, reach out to Steve. You can get him at steve@gocsouth.com or catch him at 252-567-5472. So excited about that. I hope we get some pictures and video and all kinds of good content in from that. And then also, of course, our friends in Texas have announced that the Texas Pipe Show will be on October 6th of this year. And so we look forward to getting more information about that soon. But mark your calendar if you are in the area or would like to make a trip to Fort Worth.
All right, man. Yeah. So we've got a fun show tonight. For those that have never joined us for a Squire Select episode, that is where we pair up various things with pipe tobacco. Now, typically speaking, historically, if you do the math, you will find that the vast majority of Squire Selects are all based on some sort of whiskey or brown liqueur. Not liqueur, liquid. I'm just trying to say
brown,
liquid.
Brown water.
Brown water.
Right.
Whiskey, scotch, bourbon. That's what we enjoy to have along with our pipe tobacco. So what we do is we take two various beverages, and John David, using his vast palate and knowledge, pairs them up with the right pipe tobacco to enjoy them by. Now, all that to be said, there are some occasions where we do other drinks as well. We've done gin. We've done tea, like, once. We've done coffee. Yeah,
done wine.
Once. We did wine. Like once. I think we might have done beer like once, but yeah.
We have never done barbecue.
We have never done barbecue. We will rectify that in the future. The people have demanded it, but they're not getting it tonight, because tonight we're talking to whiskey.
Man, it's great. We always look forward to this. And of course, you know, have had a lot of fun because there's been so many different whiskeys donated to us from listeners of the Country Squire. And so we kind of have to...
I'm sorry. So you're right. I didn't mean to cut you off. I just had this epiphany all of a sudden. If... We're drinking whiskeys that are sent into us.
Right.
Because the listeners keep sending us whiskey.
Right.
And so that's why the Squire Select's always been about whiskey. So if the listeners started sending barbecue, then there would be no choice but
you
to
idiot.
Do a Squire
They're not
going to
send it. They can't functionally do that.
They could send barbecue gift cards.
That's ridiculous.
There's steak services where they send you the steak.
Yeah, like the freeze-dried steaks that you get from Omaha or whatever.
And then we'll have to thaw them, because de-thawing is not a thing. You can thaw them, then we'll cook them up, and then we'll slap some barbecue sauce on them.
This is not acceptable. If you're listening and you're a fan of Country Squire Radio and you're just thinking, this sounds like a great idea to surprise those guys or something like don't do it. Just please don't do that.
Do it.
No, I'm against. I seriously am against it.
All right. Look, I'm not trying to beg for food here. I'm just saying, I'm sorry that it's come to
like
this.
It's at some point there's such a low. I mean, there's just such an incredible low. You know, it's like, man, you gotta. I mean, someday I'm going to have to look in the eyes of my little kids and stuff and say, like, oh, Daddy, what'd you do the year before I was born?
You sampled barbecue from around the world that you paired with pipe tobacco.
That we groveled for.
Love on and joy to millions. Thousands, more accurately.
Tens and tens of people, just tens of people.
Hundreds of thousands, or hundreds, thousands, lots of people. Lots of folks.
Man, let's talk about whiskey tonight. How about that? Let's talk about whiskey and pipe tobacco.
Let's do it.
So we love doing this. Of course, you know, we try to pick things that are interesting, things that maybe you haven't had before, weren't aware of, and then also some things that are more mass market. And we're trying to mix it up tonight. We have had so many friends. It's funny, particularly from the state of Texas, that have gifted us some really fine brown waters. We'll be talking about one here momentarily. But you know, we want to mix it up because we want to find things also that are you know, readily available regardless of where you live.
Right. Yeah,
a lot
true.
Of these whiskeys are so good, but you know, they're so small batch, they're craft products that you know, as good as they are and as much as you may want to try them, you just may not be able to find them if you live in, gosh, Ohio or Kansas or, you know, wherever. I mean, you know, it's just you might have to order them offline if that's even legal in your state, which of course in
or
our
in
state
your country
or right or that too. So we try to keep it a good mix. And in the spirit of that tonight, you caught that? Tonight we're going to start out with something that is maybe a little more lowbrow than what a lot of our listeners are accustomed to. But I have to be honest, it's delicious.
Well,
it's really good. It's
if
really
it's
good.
Lowbrow, then I'm sure you find it absolutely
right. Absolutely exquisite.
Although when it comes to the tobacco, you've got like this like premium palate, but when it comes to anything in the beverage variety,
anything in the beverage area, except for Boodles, I defend that. I will defend that.
Boodles is great.
Right.
I'm not going to bash.
No, I will defend
not on
that.
This show.
But when it comes to beer and, you know, I don't, it's some whiskey. Of course, I like good scotch.
Sure.
But, I mean, I'm a wild turkey guy, so you can't expect a whole lot of me.
You are a wild turkey guy.
Right.
Oh, while you're pouring this, while you're pouring this, I want to share something on air. So I was a couple weekends ago, I was with my wife and we were at a benefit for, I want to say it's like the Heart Foundation, Kidney Foundation. It's got to be the heart.
Yeah, one of those organs.
One of those organs. And so at this thing, they had an open bar and the bartender was being very, very generous. And I was like, man, this is some generous portions that they're serving out. I come up and I'm like, I would like, I'd like your best bourbon. She pulls out that Old Charter 8.
Yeah.
And she gives me
your finest whiskey.
She gives me a tall glass of this thing. I mean, it's like basically she could have poured like the whole bottle into this one glass. It was massive.
You just got to think Eight Seasons, man. I mean, that's exquisite stuff.
So this is Jackie D.
Yeah. So this is actually Jack Daniel's rye. This is a Tennessee straight rye whiskey. Of course, we're all familiar with Jack Daniel's. You know, it's one of those just prolific spirits that you find everywhere. Best-selling whiskey, of course, in the United States and
is that
in the
right?
World. Yeah, by a mile.
That's not that's not surprising, right? Their branding, it's hard to find somebody off the side of the road that doesn't know Jack Daniel's.
Well, I mean, I've literally, you know, every other country I've been in that I've, you know, gone in urban areas, I have seen Jack Daniel's, you know, stuff, either signs or, you know, posters or T-shirts or whatever. I mean, it's just everywhere, you know? So people know about Jack Daniel's, and of course, Jack Daniel's, you know, even though they're kind of king of the hill as far as the market share goes, they're feeling pressure, you know, from other parts of the industry because folks are getting more into serious bourbons now,
right?
It's kind of like a bad tobacco blender. Even though they, you know, sell a whole lot of tobacco, they're starting to get a little pressure from, you know, folks like Cornell and Deal or maybe the Country Squire or whatever. So they got to up their game a little bit, you know.
Okay.
And it's not, you know, I say that tongue in cheek. It's, you know, there's a lot of folks that love Jack Daniel. Frankly, I don't mind Jack Daniel's. I think it's pretty good, especially Gentleman Jack. I think it's got a really great taste, not too much bite, and you know, it's just a great whiskey on its own. Of course, Jack Daniel's I love to blend with it if I'm making like a, you know, some kind of cocktail or something like that. But anyway, Jack Daniel's they're starting to feel kind of the heat, the pressure of
good whiskey.
Yeah, I mean, just the market getting more competitive. We'll put it that way.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Don't want to step on somebody's.
Put on my diplomat shoes here. Mm. And so, so Jack Daniel's, they came out last year with their rye whiskey. This is billed as their first new recipe in 150 years, which, you know, I don't know. Do you believe that? I mean, I don't know. Maybe you do. I mean,
it might be their first new recipe that they put out in this quantity.
Yeah, probably so. I mean, that's kind of what I was thinking. Like, you know, they've probably done a few little things here and there, but mass market stuff, it's, you know, probably the case. So this is a 90 proof whiskey. It's got just a real beautiful, warm, golden color in the bottle. It kind of pairs nicely. You've got this almost southern look with this kind of craft paper label here and, you know, the green that always
Jameson's green.
You're right.
No,
you do see that a lot with rye whiskeys. They'll kind of flank the, you know, the accent color on rye whiskeys tend to be green for some reason. I don't know why that became the standard. But anyway, just a real pretty presentation. It's a 70% rye, 18% corn, and 12% malted barley. And when you smell it, you immediately smell the sting of that rye. It's definitely there. It's a strong whiskey. It's one of those that you know, you kind of know you're dealing with something substantial. There's also on the nose, you know, kind of this...
Stings the nostrils.
But, you know, like something else that we know and love. But, you know, there's... On the nose, I also get, kind of interestingly enough, notes of fruit. Particularly, I thought this was interesting, and I recognized it immediately, had to go corroborate this with other tobacco or other whiskey tasters. But I smell bananas on there. Do you smell that? Do you smell bananas?
Okay, so now that you mention it, yes. It's kind of one of those things.
That's like one of those dehydrated banana chips. Like I smell that when I smell this whiskey. It's really interesting.
Well, and have you ever had roasted bananas?
I have not.
It kind of smells like this.
I feel like Bananas Foster kind of thing.
Well, so my mom used to, when we were growing up, she used to roast bananas.
Okay.
Like she would like put them in a pan. She'd like throw some like cinnamon in there.
Okay.
And then she would roast them and we kind of.
Okay.
They were really good if you like put them over ice cream or something of that nature.
Yeah, it sounds good.
It wasn't too bad. So yeah, I'm kind of actually getting that smell there.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's try it out. Yep.
Oh.
You're such a pansy.
No, it's not that. It's just that it's just not good, man. Look, Jack Daniels, the reason why it is so, well, I mean, aside from the fact of just genius marketing that has been discussed.
It's just that it's not good.
It's just that it's not good. Look, this is as you have mentioned, this is a whiskey that is meant to be blended. This is a cocktail whiskey.
For me personally, I prefer just normal Jack Daniels that way. This, I enjoy, frankly, drinking it on its own. I think it's nice. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you know, I mean, to each their own. It's just there's just something about the.
I don't have this precious baby's bottom palate that you have that is just so exquisitely delicate that it.
Yeah. Wait till we get to the tobacco and you start dividing that.
I know, right? All right. I know. Yeah, it's interesting. Of course, this is a very...
You can taste the bananas, too. That you've got me thinking about it, it's all I can taste from this.
It's fascinating, isn't it? There's something about that. I'd be interested to know if other folks got that from this particular whiskey. But there's a certain tingle that comes with this whiskey. Bo may call it a burn. I call it a tingle. But it's one of those things where I immediately feel it on the roof of my mouth. Just some nice burn there. It's not a harsh bite, really, for me. But it's one of those that you'll be familiar with if you do like a good rye whiskey at this price point. So anyway, I thought this was fun. Of course, it's a strong whiskey. The proof is not off the charts, but the taste and the flavor is strong. And so we wanted to pair it with a tobacco that was going to be a little more mellow, something that wouldn't be so high in the superlatives, although would have a nice strength to it. And so
yeah, why on earth would you want to block the flavor of this? Oh wait, that's what everybody does. That's why they blend this with
that's why
Jack
they mix
and
it
Coke,
with Dr. Pepper
Jack and
or whatever.
Dr. Pepper.
Right.
Jack and is basically what its name should be.
Right, right. Well, tonight we're pairing it with Solani Aged Burley Flake. This is blend 656. Solani, you know, we talk occasionally about their blends, and they make good stuff. I mean, this is one of those small batch blenders. I think all their stuff now is made in Germany. This is always really peculiar tobacco. This is just a burley flake. It's just a really clean smelling, clean tasting burley. There's not a lot of complexity here. It's a strong tobacco as far as burleys are just strong tobaccos as far as the, not the flavor profile, but just the strength, the kick to it. And so, you know, you're going to get that. But I think paired with this particular whiskey that's a strong whiskey that has a good bit of bite, it's one of those that kind of will leave you, just give your palate a little break if you want to enjoy your pipe while you're doing that. For a flake tobacco, this is actually, you know, burns relatively cool and is easy to keep lit, which is nice. You know, a lot of those Virginias that we talk about, particularly Virginia flakes, they've got so much natural sugar in them that they just destroy your tongue. You know, it's one of those things like you know, our friend gosh, who was it? He said about one of our tobaccos recently, if you smoke it and then drink a Diet Coke, it'll make you see God, kind of thing.
Oh, wow.
You know, one of those deals. And I think this is kind of the opposite of that.
See the devil.
Right, right. The burley, you know, it just has this kind of clean, mellow flavor. There's not as much natural sugar. And so even though it's a strong tobacco, it, I think, pairs nicely with the bite of the Jack Daniels rye. So good tobacco. If you haven't tried the Solani Aged Burley Flake, highly recommend it. It's not, for me, an everyday smoker. It's a component in a nicely varied cellar, but I do think it's something that everyone should try.
Solani, definitely, in terms of the branding and everything, it looks like it's got a very kind of classic look to it.
It's just real clean.
You can see it almost kind of like right next to the Jack Daniels in terms of the branding of the era.
Yeah.
You know, it looks to have kind of the ships coming into port. Yeah, do you know how long it's been around?
Gosh, I don't. I mean, I know Solani tobacco has been around for quite a while. I don't know how long this particular tobacco has been, or any specifics at all, frankly. So, but it's, you know, it's a really good seller on the market. Probably their better sellers even than this on the market are the Virginia Flake with Perique. It's the yellow label, and I'm forgetting the number that it is. Really, really popular. It's one of the really most pronounced peppery tobaccos that you'll find. And then, of course, the Solani Silver Flake, which is a very expensive tin. It's $30 for a 100-gram tin. It's kind of a large square tin. It's not vacuum sealed, so you have to handle it kind of differently. But it's got some dark-fired burley in it, which gives it kind of a nice smoky, peaty flavor.
Now, we all know that raisins is kind of a trigger word for you.
Right. I wish you would have given me a... what's the... thing where I have a heads up so I can go run and hide before you say that.
Trigger warning.
Right, that one. Yeah.
Yeah. So if I say that this kind of has a tin note like wheat, or not wheat, but like hay?
Yeah, no, I think that's fair.
Okay.
Yeah. You know what I think of with this, and I almost wonder when I smoke this tobacco, if it's part of the artwork or something that's also getting me, but I'm actually going to say it, raisin bran.
Trigger warning.
I know. I know. It's like those brand cereals, you know, you open the box and it's just like these kind of golden, gnarly flakes that are in there. And I don't know. I kind of get that. I don't know.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
Yeah, anyway, it's good. I think it goes well with the Jack Daniel's rye, though.
Raisin bread. That's impressive. That is a delicate palate.
There it is.
Such
a delicate palate that apparently I just destroyed with this $25 whiskey.
No. Look, if you are a big Jack Daniel's fan, I don't want to. I'm not judging you. I'm judging the whiskey that you love. That's what that is.
That's fair.
Now, speaking of whiskey from an area where people love to be judged, Texas. We're gonna Texas. What exactly am I holding here? Because of course this was a gift that actually came from the our time at the Texas Pipe Show.
That's right. That's right. We're still working through some of those, which is just amazing.
It's y'all hooked us up.
Testament, I know, to just gosh, y'all were so incredibly gracious to us. So yeah, this is a bottle of TX blended whiskey. It may be pronounced Texas blended whiskey, but it's TX blended whiskey. You'll see it very prominently pronounced there on the front of the bottle. It's from Firestone and Robertson, which is a distillery in Fort Worth. Now, newer distillery, these guys have not been around for a really long time, but super small batch, again, craft stuff. You know, we love talking about these things because in our whiskey kind of culture today, there's just such a, you know, incredible desire to find those small batch things that have been artisan created out of ingredients that are hard to get and all that kind of stuff. And of course, the Firestone Robertson distillery, that's what they major in, right? So that it's right up there. Of course, like a lot of these companies and small businesses that are trying to promote their craft products, you know, they go the extra mile. It's funny looking at the bottle. Of course, the bottle is you know, just kind of a normal, you know, you've seen a lot of bottles probably like that in your local package store, but the difference here, you've got around the neck of the bottle kind of this little burlap ribbon thing, which kind of makes you feel of the old South or like a Conestoga wagon or something like that.
It's got a specialness to it. It's that it's that charm.
Yeah, there's a little charm too.
Yeah.
But and then to top it off, literally all the caps for this particular whiskey are handmade, and they actually use boot leather to make the central ornament there on top of the cap. So isn't that cool?
If the big TX didn't tell you it was Texas.
I know, right? they use boot leather, right?
Right.
What's cool? You can actually give your boots or old leather to this distillery, and they will make you custom caps out of your own stuff. And then, you know, when you buy your own bottle of this particular whiskey, then you can use it or give it away, you know, maybe to a good friend, and it'll have a story to go with it or something like that.
I got to tell you, I'm not an outdoors kind of guy, but I'm in Mississippi and I own some boots, and I don't know that I want those like boots touching any whiskey based on the wear and tear that they've received over the years.
Them some foul boots. Yes.
They've been some stuff.
So, pour yourself a little bit here. I've already indulged a little bit
is
myself.
Is that yours right there?
This is mine.
Do you want some more?
So, nah, better not.
Right. Taking it easy. Doesn't have the lady here tonight.
That's right.
Yeah.
So this is a proprietary blend of whiskeys. It's a blended whiskey, and in America, I believe it's over 20 or 21% of the whiskey has to be straight whiskey, and then it can be, you know, variety after that. So blended whiskey, of course, they don't tell you exactly what's in there. It has, what's interesting to this, your immediate, or my immediate, let me speak for self, my immediate impression of this is mild and semi-weak. And so, you know, you smell it and taste it, and you're like, oh, that's just not that strong.
Well, you smell it, and there's like nothing there.
There's just not a lot there. And then, you know, this is 80 proof whiskey, so it's going to be on the milder side. You might get a little vanilla, a little, I picked up some milk chocolate, which I thought was interesting, just a little bit of kind of a milky flavor, which was good. But then just a few seconds into you doing this, you know, sipping it, kind of letting it rest on your palate and swallowing, something happens. And it is a, just something I haven't really experienced a lot on whiskeys before, and it's a heat. And when I say heat, I don't mean bite. I mean like a temperature, like the temperature of my tongue went up.
Really?
It started just kind of normal, but as I swallowed and then sat on it, the hotness of my mouth actually increased. It was like a almost like a pepper. It was very interesting.
You don't have that new flu, do you?
No. Okay. I don't have the pig flu or whatever.
I'm gonna play catch up with you. Cheers.
Cheers.
All right, let's try this.
Gets hotter.
Wow. Okay.
I know, right?
that sneaks up on you a little bit.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
So you start out drinking this stuff and it's like, oh, that's mellow. Yeah, it tastes, you know, just a lot of things that you try in kind of a mild whiskey, you know, something of this proof. But then you're like, oh, Why, that's warm. That's just warm.
You know, it's interesting.
And it's not warm on your esophagus, you know, like when you drink a strong whiskey, a lot of time that warmth kind of follows down your throat. This is a warmth on your tongue. It's just really kind of odd. And pleasant.
It is unique. You know, yeah. Beforehand, you know, you always do such a great job in you know, terms of pre-show research to make sure that the pipe tobacco that you pair up is choice. And so you get a good diving into it beforehand. And I try to come in at this fresh, but right beforehand, you know, I had a little sampling.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, this is just basically water. But it was like a quick splash.
Right.
Now that I'm actually, right. you know, now that I'm comparing it against the Jack Daniels. It's like heaven. No, but I'm definitely getting that heat.
It's really, really good. It's kind mm-hmm. of a pleasant, it's not a bite. It's just kind of pleasant temperature heat that really comes on nicely strong on kind of a gradual basis. So anyway, this particular whiskey, the TX Blended Whiskey, it won Best American Craft Whiskey in 2013 at the World Spirits Competition.
Really?
Which is, really, you know, really saying something about it. So if you're in, you know, a Texas area and can get your hands on it, or if you're in one of those lucky states where you can ship liquor into your state, you know, it might be one of those things you want to check out.
It won that in the region or nationally?
In Best American Craft Whiskey 2013 World Spirits Competition.
I mean, it's like, compared to Jack Daniels, it's good. I don't know that I'd give it like nationally, but hey, 2013.
Yeah, that's why we talk more about pipe tobacco than we do whiskey. Because we really, we're not pros.
I guess that's
but
true.
But we do like to try them.
You know, there's that, isn't there like a whole profession based off of like sampling wine and like tasting it and knowing like every single...
Like being a sommelier?
Is that what they're called?
Yeah.
Is that the same term that it would be for whiskey?
No.
It would be something different.
Yeah,
whiskey?
I'm sure they have probably their own own designation.
I could never. You could do that. I mean, you know, you got a whole other career and profession going on right now, but if this whole pipe thing doesn't work out,
trying it right, if the FDA really clamps down, yeah.
you might have a little backup plan right there.
Man, well, so I was, you know, thought hard about pairing this particular whiskey with a tobacco tonight, and this is a mild whiskey. This is one that doesn't have just a lot of off the charts flavors that pop out that just clobber you with pepper or the bite of the rye or the grain that just comes out of nowhere. You
it's
do
very
have this
friendly.
You do have kind of this heat thing going on, which is interesting to me, but it's very kind to the mouth, which, you know, is nice. It's a very sippable whiskey. It's not something I would blend with any type of, you know, cocktail or anything like that. So I wanted to pick an English blend for this. It just seemed right to kind of buttress up the mildness of this particular whiskey with something more smoky, something substantial, but not something that would overwhelm it. And so I picked actually a very venerated tobacco tonight. This is Sam Gay with Squadron Leader. It's one of those tobaccos that, gosh, it's just been around forever. It's kind of hard to get nowadays. It's not readily, I mean, you can get it, but it just comes in waves, the, you know, ability for you to find it at a retailer. But this is an English blend. It's got some Oriental Turkish leaf in it. It's a medium-bodied English blend. It's one of those where you are aware of the Latakia. It's not over the top, but it's certainly present. It's very cool on your tongue. And just, I don't know, I think it kind of takes the TX blended whiskey and just gives it a little more strength that maybe it would need for a real flavor nerd to enjoy it. So I liked it. I thought it was a good pairing.
Yeah, man. Squadron Leader, a frequent flyer, pun intended, on the a lot of different pipes and pipe tobacco forums.
Yeah, absolutely.
You hear this one discussed quite a bit. You know, it does have that. What do you know? What the plane that is actually flying on the cover here in terms of the branding and the packaging?
I don't know. It looks like a British plane, British biplane.
It looks like, remember in Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade when he gets in the plane and his dad's in the back and he's firing and his dad's Sean Connery and he's like, oh, sorry, son, they got us. You know, like, because he accidentally fired on the back wing. That looks to be the plane that we got going on back here.
Yeah.
Except I don't see the gunner that Sean Connery was in. So it's like that plane without the gunner.
Well, you know, they're trying not to push the envelope too much. It's bad enough that it's tobacco. They want to put, they don't want to mix guns with it as well, right?
I don't know, man. This was back in 1792.
No, right. I know, right?
The branding might be a little bit different.
Yeah, boy, the airplanes in 1792 were really spectacular. whatever.
But yeah, so Sam Gay with is this, because I mean this does almost look like a collector's item here.
Yeah, it has been open. You're okay. Welcome to pop it open, smell it. It is probably a little bit smoked out of it, but it's one of those tins that's been sitting around in my cellar for quite a while. So,
oh man,
good tobacco. It's
yes,
one of those
sir.
That just you immediately, you know, are aware that the Latakia is there. The Orientals, when you taste the tobacco, are present, but it's not an overwhelming blend. It's one of those that I think just makes its, you know, kind of strength, silkiness known. and paired with the TX blended whiskey, I think does well.
That is a fantastic pairing. That seems to be a fantastic pairing.
There's only one way to find out.
Well, I don't have my pipe with me, and I never as people write in and complain all the time, I never smoke whenever I'm podcasting.
I know, right?
but no, that just from the 10 note alone, just like a swig of the old Texas here, and then with the Squadron Leader, man, that's
and if you haven't tried Squadron Leader, you owe it to yourself to try it. It's one of those, you know, probably, I don't know, top 10 or 15 tobaccos that you need to have tried at some point.
Do y'all carry it here?
We do.
Okay.
We sure do.
How much does a tin like this normally go for?
You know, it depends on, you know, what we can get it for to pass that along, but I think generally the MSRP is somewhere around $14.
Okay, cool. Yep. I might have to pick that up and sell it, because I've never
had
it.
The Samuel Gaywa stuff tends to be a little more expensive. You know, it's just all those, you know, British brands, the Gaywa and Hogarth, Sam Gaywa, of course, all our friends at Esoterica and that stuff, they just, you know, are a little more expensive, but typically they're really, really worth it.
Man, excellent pairings, man. No, I'm serious. Like you've done well by the people that like Jack Daniels. I'm sure they'd be very appreciative of the pairing that you got going over here. And for
I liked it.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying.
I liked it. It was good.
I was smoking this tobacco and this Jack Daniels, not because they pay me to. I just liked it.
Is this your Matthew McConaughey?
Matthew McConaughey. All right. That's right. Matthew McConaughey, you know, he likes a bourbon as well. He just gives it Jack Daniels. Was it Jack Daniels that he does a thing for? And he's like, whiskey? We just drank it? I don't know. He's sitting on the beach. You know what I'm talking about?
he gets so terrible.
Gets on the beach, takes his shirt off. He's like, hey, I'm just out here drinking this, whatever this is. I don't know. I'm just here having a good time.
Isn't it cool? Paycheck. You can count my abs.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. Be a lot cooler if you did. I'll tell you what, man. It would be a lot cooler if you were getting a nice, clean, cool smoke from a Missouri Meerschaum pipe.
That's right.
Oh, out of nowhere.
That's right. That's right. Hit him with the right hook.
That's right, man. Of course, Missouri Meerschaum, great corncob pipes and a sponsor of this show. One of the reasons why you're able to enjoy this podcast on a week-to-week basis is the good folks at Missouri Meerschaum. And you got to check them out. If you've never smoked a Missouri Meerschaum pipe, think about a corncob pipe. Like, just imagine, close your eyes, think about a corncob pipe. Now, if that's just some, like, you know, corncob pipe that you found down at the old general store, they make a dime a dozen of them, everything else, got to tell you, that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about some cool, custom, creative works. I mean, when you think of a Missouri Meerschaum pipe, they really push the envelope on what you can do with a corncob.
That's right. That's right. They're constantly using new materials and new accents on all their pipes. Again, these are made from pieces of corn that they actually harvest themselves, you know, proprietary strains of corn.
That they've
worked on forever, you know, and of course, this makes some of the most reliable, most trusty pipes here in the United States. Been around forever. We love them and smoke a bunch of them and know them. You know, it's interesting. I was filling several mail orders today. Again, we're kind of backlogged because Caleb has been gone, and I'm always amazed at how many Missouri Meerschaum pipes we sell through our website. It's one of those things where folks are constantly, you know, kind of throwing them on the back end of an order, you know, at the last minute. They're like, well, I got a couple extra bucks. You know what? Let's throw in a Huck Finn. Let's throw in a Tom Sawyer or a Mark Twain. These are pipes that are just incredibly affordable. You know? And they're pipes that'll be with you forever. It's a good work pipe. It's a good truck pipe, fishing pipe, but it's also a good everyday pipe. And we've got some of our most loyal, frequent customers that smoke almost exclusively Missouri Meerschaum pipes.
Well, it's a good friend pipe as well. You know, like the other day, actually, I was going through my things. I was actually about to go on a trip, and we were packing everything. I thought, okay, well, I want to make sure I bring a pipe. So, of course, if I'm going somewhere, if I'm traveling, especially if I have to package something up, then typically I'm bringing a Missouri Meerschaum pipe. But I couldn't find the specific one I was looking for.
The one you wanted.
And then I realized, oh, yeah, I gave it to a buddy of mine when he came in from out of town. He was like, oh, I've never smoked a pipe before. And I was like, oh, you just take this.
Perfect starter pipe,
man. Just try it.
That's great.
That's the thing. It's always good to have a couple Missouri Meerschaums in your collection, because it's a great way to bring folks into pipe smoking. They just need to try some of your tobaccos and everything. And Missouri Meerschaum, check them out. If you got a Missouri Meerschaum pipe, be sure to smoke it this week. It's a great way to let them know you thank them for sponsoring this show.
Pipe question of the week.
All right, man, pipe question of the week this week comes in from Dylan J. Schlander. I butchered his name before. Dylan says, it is a windy night, but I would not be denied my pipe. I am noticing that my large bent Dublin bowl lets me comfortably keep my hand or thumb around the cover of the chamber. Do you guys have any tips about using your hands in regards to keeping the pipe going in adverse weather conditions? Love the show. Again, that's from listener Dylan.
Yeah, it's interesting, Dylan. I have seen people come in that use their hands, you know, that I even have customers that don't use a tamper. They just use their hands almost as kind of like a flue or something to cover up the oxygen amount that's going into the bowl, and that's how they kind of regulate it and keep their pipe lit, which I've never really understood. I wonder. I've always been curious about that. But you know, yeah, as far as the weather conditions, if you're in a very windy environment, you can also almost use your hand like a wind cap. You know, it's one of those things where if you're grabbing your pipe from the front, typically you can kind of shield it just a nice angle that allows enough air to get in the bowl still, you know, while you're puffing on it. So it's one of those things that's just a personal preference. You can do that if it's helpful to you. And again, like you said, you occasionally will find a pipe where it conforms nice to your hand, where your thumb fits perfectly around it and the rest of your palm kind of rests on the top part of the bowl, which is nice. So, you know, I think it's just, you know, one of those things you have to get comfortable with. It varies probably from pipe to pipe. You know, a lot of folks, they will kind of shield their pipe or generally cover their pipe over while they're smoking at all, you know, at any time. And so, but as far as any specific tips, you know, it's just one of those things you'll have to continue to experiment with.
That's good, man. I think obviously when it comes to regulating your pipe, John David is the regulator that you want to talk to. He should know, because as I recall, it was a clear dark night, a clear white moon. JD was on the streets trying to consume some pipe tobacco for the evening so he could get some funk. I forget that.
Is this from the regulators?
Just hit the east side and the LBC. That was from regulators. That was terrible. I apologize.
You tried really hard.
I butchered a classic. Great question though, Dylan. We actually do get a lot of questions when it comes to smoking pipes in adverse weather. I would also encourage you to check out the episode that we did about pipe smoking on the beach specifically, because we talked about a lot of different weather conditions in that.
Yeah, and you know, we've talked so much about wind caps, you know, and I think these are things that people think, oh, I could use that, but then never really do. Like, get you a wind cap. Just try it out. I mean, you know, they cost, what, under $3? You can get them, you know, from us or from your favorite retailer. You know, wind caps they're inexpensive. They're one of those things you pop on the top of your pipe, you smoke it through the wind cap. It can help you with a variety of things. If you've packed your bowl and want to, you know, put your pipe in your pocket, the wind cap helps the tobacco from, you know, spilling out. You can use it in your car, like we talked about recently on our driving diving while piping episode.
Diving while piping. right before we did the Aristocats.
That's right. And you know, you can set it down quickly in your car with the wind cap on and not have to worry about the ashes spilling out or anything like that. So, you know, try the wind cap. I think it's a lot more useful than people realize.
Yeah, man. All right. Well, great question, Dylan. And hey,
yeah, good question.
If you've got a pipe question of the week, you can send that in show@countrysquireradio.com. Again, that is show@countrysquireradio.com.
Quick fire with the squire.
Quick fire question. All right, man. Quick fire questions coming in from, of course, this segment is brought to you by the Tin Society. More on the Tin Society in just a moment. Now, these quick fire questions were sent in from Jordan Scoville.
Jordan Scoville. Yeah.
I like Scoville. It reminds me of Smallville, which was that television series about Superman when he was a kid in high school.
Why would they name it that?
Because that's the city that he grew up in. He grew up in Smallville, and then he went to Metropolis. Did you not know
generic name.
No,
American city.
DC. I mean, yes.
No, I'm sure. No, I'm sure you're right. Yeah, if anyone would know, you would know.
I think.
And if anyone would not know, I would not know.
That is also accurate.
Right.
That's good. All right, Jordan. He says sleeping in late or getting up early.
Sleeping in late.
Getting up early.
10 times out of 10.
we probably
Bo
are.
Bo and
the,
I are very different.
We are the living embodiments of the two stark opposites.
Yeah, it's really kind of, we've laughed before about, like, you know, if I were 100% in charge of Country Squire Radio, we would get nothing done. There would be no Country Squire Radio. Like, you know, I'd be sitting in the corner, you know, talking very quietly, you know, not amping myself up each Monday night to come on the air. And if Bo were 100% in charge of Country Squire Radio,
3 a.m. baby,
you would have to medicate yourself to listen to us even more than you already do. We'd have so many more enemies, but we'd have a lot more interesting content.
Yeah.
It'd be just all over the map
for that alternate reality.
We make a good team
for that alternate reality. I do encourage you to check out Flash TV Talk, which is very heavily driven by me and is a very, like, intense ESPN style of podcasting. So if that's Yeah, try that. But yeah, okay, so sleeping in late, getting up early. I will say this. I'll throw this out
here. I'm like
the
Humpty Dumpty to your Velociraptor.
I wouldn't say that you're a Humpty Dumpty.
Or more of a...
Humpty Dumpty had a great fall, and all the king's men and all the king's women... All the king's people?
You lost it almost immediately.
I don't remember. But you're not an omelet. Hashtag, you're not an omelet. No, we'll say this. When we were in...
Well, that's excellent.
New Orleans for the New Orleans Pipe Show, you did... I could not believe this, but you actually got up early with me to go out to breakfast.
Yeah.
So that you could check out this little cafe that I've been raving about. And then as soon as we got back, you went straight back to sleep.
No,
but it meant so much to me that you actually got up
that
early.
I made the effort, right?
Man, yeah, that's huge.
No, that's right.
That's huge. All right, pencil or pen?
Pen.
Yeah, yeah.
Nine and a half times out of ten. I'm a fountain pen guy. I'm into that. I collect them and, you know, enjoy tinkering with them. It's kind of right along with my pipe obsession. It's just one more thing to tinker with. But I just love pens. I love different color inks and the different nib widths and, you know, how to make the... lines, variant, and all that kind of stuff.
What's a nib?
What's
a nib? I don't know what a nib is.
That's the end of your fountain of your pen.
I did not realize.
Yeah, when you're writing with your fountain pen, it's that little. as I try to stab Bo with my with my sailor gold nibbed fountain pen. Yeah, it's just this is the nib.
Gotcha. So the metal thing.
Yeah.
Okay. So I too will go with pen, though nothing is fancy. I it's kind of surprising because typically I prefer like dry erase. Like note-taking as opposed to...
Like a marker?
Yeah, well, anything that I can erase,
yeah,
right?
If you ever haven't been in Bo's office, he's one of those visual people that, like, notes on the wall,
the
big pieces of paper,
yeah,
post-it notes, and lots of colored categories and all that kind of stuff.
And the benefit of the post-it notes and all that kind of stuff is that you can rip them down. You know what I mean? Like, you don't have to look at where you scribbled out, or you didn't have to physically go through the process of trying to erase it and then still have the marking there because you can never quite fully erase it. And so, yeah, that's the thing. I don't like the pencils. Plus, it doesn't pop. Pens pop.
Pop.
You know what I mean? Like, I mean, just off the page.
No, you're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah. All right. Finally, lasagna or spaghetti?
Lasagna. One of my top five favorite dishes in the history of ever is my mother's lasagna.
Oh.
It is fantastic.
Man, that's high praise.
And if she ever, you know, has the guts to ask me, because she knows typically what the answer is going to be, you know, I'm coming home for a visit. I don't get to go home very often. And right. She's like, what do you want me to make? There's a probably two out of three chance. There's like a 75, you know, ish percent chance that I'm going to say lasagna.
Mama Cole, we know you're listening. If you want to bring some of that lasagna down next time you're in town.
He's going to be pushing for an Italian pairing now.
Squire Select!
It's just desperate. I'm telling you, man, it's just desperate.
Yes, sir. I that is a beautiful story, but I'm going to go.
You're going to go with spaghetti?
I'm going to go with spaghetti. I've mentioned this before, but I've got this recipe for Francis Coppola's mother's recipe, spaghetti that was featured in the movie Godfather.
Oh, okay.
When Clemenza is cooking for the rest of the team, and he kind of rattles off this spaghetti sauce recipe, and it's actually it's his mom's recipe, like the director's mom's recipe. So I always felt that was cool. After I discovered that, I kind of did some more research, and I crafted what I call Godfather spaghetti, which is based off of that recipe, and it is phenomenal. It is an all-day process to make it. It also includes homemade from-scratch meatballs, as well as some spicy Italian sausage, and it is phenomenal.
Well, at least you're modest.
I don't know anything about sports. I can't write. I can barely read.
You can barely read.
I can do two things in this life. I can put together a pretty dang good podcast, and I know how to cook.
And you know, you do know how to cook. Well, it's better than Honey Boo Boo. She eats sketty and butter.
Honey hoo hoo.
Honey Boo Boo.
I don't know who that is.
She, you know, sketty and butter. I was expecting that to come out of your mouth. So that's yeah.
I do remember the...
If you want some tomatoes, you know, introduced, you just use like Heinz ketchup or something.
Right. Yeah, anyway. All right, great.
That's disgusting.
Squire Select, of course, was brought to you by the Tin Society. Now, the Tin Society, by the way, if you haven't heard us talking about this, then you haven't been listening to the last couple of episodes. They're an amazing service. You know, we've talked tonight about some
love
great...
love what they're doing. Yeah,
yeah, great tobaccos that you can sample, and you can almost kind of do your own Squire Select in reverse. By signing up for the Tin Society, you get monthly delivered packages of tobacco for you to sample, try, figure out if you like it. It's a great way to really extend your palate. And hey, you know what? If you actually sign up for the Tin Society, you get these samples in, you might want to do some own parents and kind of send those in as suggestions for some future Squire Selects. We'd love to have that.
Well, we love what the Ten Society is doing. Of course, you go to tensociety.com, use the code Squire when you sign up, and you actually save 20% off on your first month's purchase. It's a cool opportunity. You know, we have a lot of these subscription services in America now, and the guys at the Ten Society, they were so excited to bring that to our passion, our pastime. You know, it's one of those things you spend 10, 20, 30 bucks on an expensive tin of tobacco, and you might not even like it, but with the Ten Society, you get the chance to sample three or four a month. You get three or four bowls with each sample, and then it's just gives you an opportunity to try the tobacco before you commit to a generous portion of it.
It's
brilliant, really.
It's a brilliant idea, right. And it's a great way to. It's something that the industry is, in my opinion,
has lacked.
Yeah. And so we're really honored to have the Ten Society as a sponsor for the show. Check them out again. Use the code Squire. That gives you 20% off on your first month plus a free Missouri Meerschaum pipe.
That's right. So check it out,
tensociety.com.
Your thoughts, your comments, listener feedback.
All right, listener feedback in this week, man. This comes in from Doug Owen, and this is actually specifically in response to last week's episode. What did Doug have to say?
He says, gosh, what a great discussion. There's a little of the aristocrat and farmer in all of us pipe smokers, but clearly most of us tend to gravitate towards one side or the other. You guys have a highly sophisticated audience. Well, much more sophisticated than we are.
Uh-huh.
Right, they tune in just to make themselves feel better about themselves.
That's
right.
Probably true.
You know, I'm really depressed on Mondays. Monday's a tough day. Let's listen to John, David, and Bo.
Yeah. Tune in live.
Yeah, we'll feel a lot better about ourselves.
Look at those guys.
I know.
Ah.
It could be worse, right? he says, you guys have a highly sophisticated audience. I appreciate a bit higher level of discourse typical of a discussion such as this one. One small but significant example of this was when Bo used the phrase, suffice to say, as opposed to the ubiquitous, suffice it to say. So commonly used these days by people of a lesser sophistication. I'm sure Bo did that on purpose. Way to go, Bo and JD. Keep up the good work and keep puffing. From our friend Doug.
Well, you know,
suffice to say,
I did not even know that the lesser saying of the word. Is that what the commoners are saying?
Sometimes Bo stumbles into class.
Hey, I went to a high school where we were setting the standards, sir.
Yeah, but I mean, the standard in Mississippi, that's like, you know, I mean, I'm just saying, like, that's where you at least know what a shoe looks like. So when you go pull it out of the garbage bin, like, you can identify.
I tell you what, we know in Mississippi, we know what a boot looks like. We know that you shouldn't put boots
on your whiskey. Right.
All right, man. This next one comes in from Dave Miller.
Yep.
Dave writes, and he says, I would love it if you guys delve into the world of British tobaccos like Condor, San Bruno, Warrior Plug, Revoir Plug. These tobaccos have such a rich history. It would be great to hear y'all talk about them and or their houses. Just a thought of some talking points. Don't want to come off like I'm telling you all how to do your own show, as I love it as it is. You guys are great. Again, that's from Dave Miller. Dave, actually,
great. Really, really great suggestion there.
Wonderful suggestion. We've actually, occasionally it's interesting because, you know, you'd think after, as we come into this year, going towards 5 years of doing the show, that we'd have to constantly kind of, you know, oh what are we going to talk about? But it actually, the show almost kind of happens very organically. But whenever we do have kind of our big rallying moments where we kind of list out topics that we want to cover, that's something regional tobaccos and also regional pipe styles are things that have come up before and we've just never actually gotten to them.
Yeah.
But
you're right.
That's definitely something we want to cover in the future. All right, we also got an iTunes review in from JH2196. What did JH have to say?
Yeah, this is on iTunes. He says, great podcast. What a great show. About the time I think your podcast can't get any better, you blow me away with a new show. It seems that each show is better than the preceding one. I hope you both have a great Christmas and a very happy and prosperous new year. Of course, this one came in a few weeks ago. Keep up the good work. I look forward to each new episode with anticipation of the unexpected happening. And that's from our friend JH on iTunes.
Well, thank you very much, JH. We really greatly appreciate that feedback. And hey, if you've got some feedback, especially of the positive variety, head over to iTunes and write us a review. It's a great way to help out the show. Doesn't cost you a dime to do it. But hey, if you are willing to spend a few dimes to ensure that you get some great quality tobacco talk, this is the place. And the way to do that is going to CountrySquireRadio.com, clicking on the button that says Join the Club, where you can become an international pipe club member for here at the Country Squire. That's through our Patreon account at patreon.com/CountrySquireRadio. $3 to $5 an episode, that'll get you a club membership. Or if you just want to help support the show, buck an episode, we greatly appreciate that as well. Again, that's patreon.com/CountrySquireRadio. We also want you to keep up with us throughout the week. You can follow me. I'm at The Real Bo York.
I'm at John David Cole, or you can get us at the shop at @_CountrySquire.
Of course, all that information and more can be found at CountrySquireRadio.com, where you can tune in to the live show happening on Monday nights at 8:30 p.m. Central Time. That's 6:30 Pacific and 9:30 Eastern. Again, that is CountrySquireRadio.com. Well, man, as with most Squire Select episodes, we start off ultimately very professional, and then having consumed a couple of glasses of the various whiskeys.
We have to change our vocabulary because we can't even get the right words.
Well, some of us have a sophisticated vocabulary to begin with, so perhaps there's something about the drinking of the beverage that brings out the best in us.
You are quite the thespian, Bo. You know, whenever I try to speak in a British accent, I just always sound like Stewie Griffin. Which, I mean, it could be worse.
You know, for being such a thespian, you would have thought I would have liked that lesbian liquor. Ouzo.
Yeah, the Ouzo.
The Ouzo. Yeah. Ouzo is tailor-made for thespians. You know, I'm dyslexic. I get the two confused all the time.
It is a delicious spirit. I do love the Ouzo from the Isle of Lesbos.
You gotta love that. Yep. You gotta love that. All right, well, hey, man. Let's go have a night.
See you, brother.
Been listening to Country Squire Radio, a member of the Podastery Network. For more information on this and other shows, please visit podastery.com.